those who live in that dark tent. Down by the water hole, drunk every Friday, eating their nuts, saving their raisins for Sunday. Lions and tigers who wait in the shadows, they're fast but they're lazy and sleep in green meadows. Well, that's hunger in the jungle. Well, that's all right by me, yes. Well, I'm a tiger when I want love, but I'm a snake if we disagree.
Just well, good evening and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is March 16th, 2010. And I am your host, John Cressido, and just by listening to the fantastic music playing in the background, tonight we're talking about animals. Maybe not animals from the jungle, but we are talking to a good friend of ours, Karen Anderson, who is America's favorite pet communicator, about all things animals and, of course, communicating with them a la psychic ability. Doesn't get much better than that, folks. I'll tell you what, we love two things on this program outside of the paranormal. We love animals, and we love people that can communicate with them and let us know what the heck's going on. So tonight, John Cressido and the Beyond Ghost Gang talking to Karen Anderson, America's favorite pet communicator, Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. Let's do this, babies. Hitting it again.
Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab.
Good evening and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is your host, John Cressido. And before I take the opportunity to introduce an incredible guest we have joining us this week via telephone from the West Coast, I want to allow, per the usual, my co-hosting team the opportunity to tell you, you out there listening, you're their fans. I'm just here, obviously, as background noise. They're going to tell you guys what they've been doing, how they've been doing it, and why they've been doing it that way. So we actually have three. Normally there is two and me as the host, but we have three co-hosts this week, and they're all going to take turns telling you people what they're doing. And we're going to start with ace number one on the microphone. We're talking Ryan, the Professor Willard. Some of you people email him and call him the Willardian. Ryan, how are you, man? What's going on, and how you been there, brother?
John, I think winter is almost over.
Thank goodness.
I think so. I mean, we've gotten some warm spells, but you know, but you know, March seems to always drag on.
That's right.
We're closer to St. Paddy's Day, and I know that makes Marty happy.
That's Marty's favorite holiday ever.
Next to Fat Tuesday, but that was a couple...
I'm Fat Tuesday.
Couple weeks ago.
Right.
St. Paddy's Day doesn't fall on a Tuesday, does it? Because we're screwed. Marty ain't coming.
Well, Marty only comes like every other show anyway, so...
I don't know. This is two in a row.
You know what? I'm going to give him a gold star for that. He's doing excellent.
We even called his substitute in today.
Just in case, yeah. But we're not going to touch on him yet. We're going to let that guy go last, okay? But I'll tell you what, Ryan, anything else to tell the folks at home?
Well, we got a friend in studio. He's like our legal counsel there in his suit, business suit.
The G-Man. We have the G-Man. We're talking about Mr. Can I say your name?
Sure.
We have Matt Kelly. That's right. He is our legal representation.
He looks like it.
He is here with a Tommy gun. He is a gangster, and he's watching over us. He is our muscle.
He's actually our best cameraman ever. Our only cameraman.
And he's handsome. In the pinstripes.
Hell of a good investigator.
Beautiful man. So, really, thank you, Matt, for being here. Of course, Ryan, if you're done, I'm moving on. I'm getting older by the second, pal. Anything else?
No, I'm done.
Okay, so we're talking to Chef Chick. Chef Chick, you are here, and you are sober. Thank goodness. What are you doing, pal? How are you, and how you been? Make it happen.
Why is he picking on me?
Yeah, I can get accolades like Mac.
Wait, he's talking about St. Paddy's Day, and obviously we're going to start talking about your affinity for Guinness. I mean, we do it each and every week, so... You're a thirsty man.
What more can I say? I'm just looking forward to it.
Matt's handsome and you're thirsty.
And with Ryan's touch on the hope and winter's over, we got the perfect guest here to talk about that groundhog.
Oh, we're going to talk about it. That's right. Punxsutawney Phil, that little son of a gun. Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, so we're moving right along rather quickly this week. Folks at home, our man, number three of the co-hosting team, is here. Once again, we're talking to Mr. Brandon Bristow. He's in the house. And Brandon, take a few minutes and reacquaint the fans at home with you yourself. What you been up to, buddy? Hit it.
Not a whole lot. I guess we're in luck because St. Paddy's Day lands on a Wednesday this year. So.
Did you know off the top of your head, or did you look that up?
It did land on a Wednesday.
No,
cool.
I did have to look that up.
I already knew that. I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, you know, Marty, like, he does St. Paddy's Day Eve.
Like 5 days a week?
Like Christmas Eve.
I'm taking that week
like
off.
Like New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
New Year's Thanksgiving
Eve. My Fat Tuesday. My Fat Wednesday.
Marty's going to be crunk St. Paddy's
Fat's
Day.
Fat's the new skinny. When you guys Google me online, take a look. Fat, slim, skinny, baby.
I saw on Fox News that curves are in again.
Thank you. I'm very curvaceous.
Not the bowling pin type curves.
I'm voluptuous. I am voluptuous, babies.
We're going to put that on the webpage now.
What?
Voluptuous John Crescito.
I'm too sexy for my shirt? Okay. So, Brandon, so all you got there is about St. Patty's Day being a one on Wednesday, or what?
No, I mean, that's...
You crunk too? Okay.
Brandon's going
with Sometimes I wish. Yeah, I'm going to hit up...
Green Buffalo Pub.
Yeah, GBP with Marty Tuesday night. So
they better become our sponsor, that Green Buffalo Pub. Yeah.
They better give us one free round at least.
So, well, Marty and I are both calling sick that night.
That sounds cool. That sounds cool for both of you. But if they try to take us to the freaking wash there, we got Matt Kelly, the legal guy. He's going to keep us out of trouble in the courtroom. Is that all you guys got?
Yep.
Either that or the way he's sitting behind Marty, he's like his legal guardian. parole officer.
Good boy. Good boy, Marty.
Maybe you can get me back into Canada.
Canada ain't all cracked.
Maybe you should take a picture. It's funny.
So we done? I want to get down to the meat of the matter, folks. Some serious business. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, now it is my absolute pleasure, now that these shenanigans are over... It is my pleasure to introduce our guest, and this is America's Animal Communicator. We're talking to Karen Anderson. She's also a medium and a pet psychic and author of the book, Hear All Creatures. Karen, are you there?
Wow, that was a great intro, guys. Thank you.
You're very welcome. How are you doing tonight, Karen?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. These three guys here, I mean, obviously you can hear in their voices. They're like cherubs.
Well, I've got that whole voluptuous thing now in my head. I can't get rid of it.
I can't say if that's bad or good, but like I said, get a chance. Google me.
We'll decide later. We'll send you pictures.
Clothes, of course. So, Karen, it is our pleasure to have you on the show. And obviously, we said that you are an animal communicator and a pet psychic, among other things. So there's so many things we're dying to talk about because we're huge animal lovers on this side of the microphone. Beyond Ghosts is just gaga about animals. I want to take the first part of the interview, if I can, the first segment here, and in your own words, could you please just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
I would love to. I live in Spokane, Washington, and I'm originally from Southern California. I was born and raised there, and it was when I was a little kid that I first discovered that I could understand what the animals were saying, but I think that all kids are really open to psychic kinds of phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to see spirits and ghosts, as you guys probably know, much easier than adults can, because they just don't know that they can't. So I was, as a young child, very much into surrounding myself with animals and understanding them on a certain level, certainly not what I do now,
mm-hmm.
Of what they needed or what they wanted. Now, my parents didn't quite know what to do with that, so they didn't encourage it. In fact, they were quite bothered by it, is a good word. So they really discouraged it. And so I shut it down, for other reasons, too, but I also shut it down when I was about 8 years old. And I write about this in great detail about what happened and why I turned everything off in my book. The book's called Hear All Creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until many years later, I was actually a deputy for a sheriff's department in Colorado, where all of my abilities, so to speak, started to come back to me, because I worked night shift by myself, and sometimes my nearest backup car was a half an hour or more away.
Oh, wow.
So I had to learn to trust my intuition and my instincts, and that's where everything started to kind of snowball. So we can blame it on being a cop, really.
Well, I will stop you right there, and I'll say this. I mean, thank you for your service, because we also not only love animals on this side of the mic, we love law enforcement here on Beyond Ghosts, especially Marty.
They love me.
They do. You're one of their best customers. So, all right, Karen, I guess now I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. I have no abilities, nothing like what you're saying as far as communicating with the other side. So how do you do exactly what you do as it pertains to the animals? How do you actually communicate, and what is it like?
Well, it's actually the same way to communicate with an animal as it is to communicate with a deceased human loved one. It's the same process that I go through. I'm not a very religious person, but I'm a very spiritual person and mm-hmm. very connected in my belief system, and so I always start out in prayer and meditation. And I only work with energies of the light. So you guys, as ghost hunters, are probably out there looking for, you know, all kinds of different energies. I only want to work with the energies of the light. So that's all that I will open up to. And when I begin a session, as soon as I receive a photograph, I like to work off of a picture, I start getting immediate feelings and impressions, and eventually a conversation will develop in my mind, but it's a quiet conversation I'm having in my own head
mm-hmm.
with whoever it is I'm communicating with, whether it be an animal or a human. So it's really something that's done in my head. It's not a physical, something physical that you can actually see. But I hear their words, I feel their feelings. Sometimes they'll flash an image at me if they don't know what something is called. And sometimes all of those things come through at once. And I'll give you a for instance.
Sure.
Have you guys ever been, let's say, with your significant other,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps you knew what they were going to say before they actually said it?
Absolutely.
Okay. You can't explain it. It just happens. That's how it feels. Something will pop into my head that I know I didn't put there.
Gotcha.
And it's very subtle. It's not something that comes through, you know, loud and grabs your attention. It's very, very subtle. And I've just learned to tune into the animals specifically, and then the humans came after. Once I could understand the animals, and I was very much able to understand the humans. So it's all the same process for me.
Hmm. Interesting. So, Karen, so as far as only working with the light energies, now, how can you keep up the dark energies? I mean, you have a choice to either interact with them or not.
It's my prayer and the process that I go through before I begin a session. And I work very closely with my guides, spiritual guides, angels, whatever you want to call them.
Uh-huh.
And I will only open up to energies of the light. So the lower level energies can't even get through. In fact, I've had a couple of sessions. Not that the animals were of a lower energy, but the animals had not moved entirely into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really hard time understanding them. And I thought, gosh, what did I forget how to do this? How come I'm not getting anything? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I realized that they hadn't moved completely into the light. Very much like the TV show Ghost Whisperer, where she helps the humans move into the light.
Sure, okay.
It was very much like that. So we had a little light ceremony. We moved the animal into the light, and then I could suddenly I could hear them clearly. It's like almost being at a cell phone range. I just can't hear them.
Gotcha.
As well.
So what about living animals? You can.
Oh, the same process applies for animals that are living or animals that are deceased. In fact, the first deceased animal that I ever contacted, I didn't know at the time that he was deceased. I was in a practice group, and I was practicing with the photograph,
uh-huh.
and the person didn't tell me that it was a German Shepherd. They didn't tell me that the dog had died. And it came through so lively and so full of energy that I had no clue that it was passed on, but I found out later that it was. So there's no difference. It's the same process. And all of you who are listening and everyone who has had an animal... You have had to have an experience at some point in that relationship that went beyond the spoken word. Something has had to have happened where you've either felt something,
yeah.
sensed something, or knew something about that animal on a higher level.
Now, Karen, when you do your readings with animals, live animals, how do you validate that what you're experiencing or what you're reading off of that animal comes true? Like, obviously, when you do a reading with a human, you can tell them this might happen, that might happen.
And there's feedback.
Yeah, how do you do that with an animal to validate what you're talking about and make it, you know, that what information you're getting is correct or possibly make them true?
Well, that's very much part of the learning process, and I've been doing this professionally now since about 2002. I think I have logged approximately 10,000 sessions.
Oh, wow.
So that's 10,000 conversations that I have had.
Mm-hmm.
And in those sessions, I have the human who belongs to that animal or who's a part of, connected to that animal, on the phone with me. So I do telephone sessions. So the person on the other end of the phone is the one validating the information for me. And I've learned over the years that the animals don't lie. It's the humans that lie.
I bet.
I'll believe the animals every time. The humans will either, they'll be in denial about something, or they don't want to talk about something, and so they negate it. or they act like it, you know, oh, no, that's not me, no, no. Where the animals are very honest, and they'll come straight out and tell me the truth. And I've learned a long time ago to always side with whatever the animals tell me, because that's where the truth lies. The humans usually have an agenda, or yeah. will try to cover something up, or maybe make things look a little bit differently, but the animals don't have agendas like that. And they'll bust your chops, too. I mean, they'll come through and tell me if you've been, you know, perhaps not following your exercise or your diet the way that you're supposed to. They talk about your relationship. They talk about things that you've had to eat recently.
Tattletales?
You'd be amazed at what our deceased animals, even animals who've been passed on for years and years and years, how they see what's going on currently in your life.
That's awesome.
Do you feel that's why animals are easier to talk to, because they really, they have no reason or don't even know why they would lie? They have no agenda. They're more open to this and more open to be honest?
I think that is a very big part of it, and you really hit on something there, because let's face it, as humans, we all have baggage, and animals really don't have baggage other than being mistreated by a human or another animal. So there really is no baggage there. They are very forthcoming. I have never met, in the thousands of sessions that I have done with animals, I've never met a single animal that did not want to talk to me. But I can count on more than two hands the number of humans that haven't wanted to talk to me.
Hey, Karen, have you ever come across an animal that was genuinely mean?
You mean as an evil?
Well, not so much evil, but they had a really poor disposition. They were just downright ornery?
No, that's the human animal.
You must be reading me, pal.
Don't forget, I was a cop. I've seen a lot of, let's say, lower level energies on the human side. The animals, you know, they can be grumpy, they can be a little shy, they can be a little standoffish, but as far as evil, no, not really. Not on the level that a human can generate.
That's good to
not
know.
Really.
What's the weirdest animal you've ever read for somebody?
Well, let's see. I've done a lot of exotics. Bald eagles, pot-bellied pigs, hedgehogs.
Well, who owns a bald eagle? I thought they were in danger.
Uncle Sam.
Some people have licenses.
That was actually a really cool a bald eagle that had been his wing had been shot by a hunter, so he couldn't fly.
Right.
And so they took him up in a hang glider and they strapped him in and they let him fly. And you want to know what his comment was about the whole thing?
Holy Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's a Christmas show, guys. It was really cool, but he cracked a joke about how many humans it took to just get into the air.
Really?
He thought that we were really lame, that it took so many of us just to take flight.
It's really easy for the birds, so they're one to talk, definitely. I hear that.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this. We're going to take a break in a minute, and then we're going to come back, Karen, and get into some of the specific cases that you've read for. We'll hear your stories and whatnot. But let me ask you, as far as it pertains to, how about the lower vertebrate animals, stuff like spiders? Can you read tarantulas?
Of course.
You're awesome, then.
What about, like, flies and stuff like that?
Insects, he's asking.
Insects. Would that be considered?
Well, why would you want to?
You ever hear the saying,
you feel bad for him.
I always want to be a fly on the wall? I mean,
what do they see?
Really,
how is it?
You know, I have the opportunity, but I really, if I'm going to spend my energy, because let's face it, guys, doing a job of any kind takes energy.
Sure.
Doing this job burns energy. I'd rather spend my energy on something a little bit more personable and cuddly and cute.
Like a hedgehog.
Yeah.
I hear you. Now, we're actually really excited. As you can tell, we have that boyish enthusiasm talking to you, because we love animals.
We're giddy.
And we love the fact, Karen, you can talk to the things we love, the animals.
Giddy, not Guinness.
I love it, too.
This is amazing. But we're going to take a fast break. So, folks at home, we're talking to America's Animal Communicator. We're talking to Karen Anderson here on Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. Be back in a minute, babies. Don't go away. You'll miss all the fun.
Balls in the bag, keep rolling and rolling. This is Richard Salva, author of The Reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln. And if you want to avoid coming back in too many lifetimes, I suggest that you check out Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. It's your host, John Crescito, believe it or not. And I'm in studio with the quiet one, Brandon Bristow. Of course, I'm also here with Marty Shefchik. And yes, the Willardian Ryan Willard is here. And we're talking to our friend, animal communicator Karen Anderson. And we had a wonderful introduction and delightful start to this conversation about communicating with animals, both living and non-living. Now, Karen, we're going to get some into the specific cases of animals you've actually communicated with and things you've done as far as reading. So please take the next however long you need, and let's get into story time, my dear.
All right. Well, you guys are going to have to tell me when to be quiet because I could literally speak for hours about this.
Nice.
One of the things that just amazes me is how our animals who have passed on, I call it transitioning because they don't really die.
Mm-hmm.
They just transition into a different way of being, and that's an energetic form. And let's face it, we're all energy. Everything around us is energy.
Yes.
We're all vibrating at a different rate. Now, for me, animals vibrate at a level that I'm able to understand, much like a radio wave, so
mm-hmm.
I can tap into their wave, so to speak. Humans vibrate at a higher rate of energy than animals. So when I want to connect with a human, I have to raise my vibration to a higher level. Much like a helicopter would rise up, it's the same kind of feeling for me. But the one thing that I notice in the sessions that I do
uh-huh.
is how tuned in our animals, our deceased animals, are to our current life. And this is everything from day-to-day kind of boring little things that we do that they see and comment on to the bigger pictures, new jobs, babies, moves, that
sure.
sort of thing. They see all of this, and they're usually really excited to talk about it. One particular session stands out in my mind because it was a very common call that I get, and that is a call when somebody has had to basically euthanize their dog or their animal.
Yeah.
And this particular client contacted me. She's from the Chicago area, and she was just really upset and beside herself with grief because she had to say goodbye to her dog.
Mm-hmm.
And during the session, she got some wonderful messages from the dog, but they were all a little bit general. And she said to me, "Karen, I really just want to know that he's still with me. The dog's name is Bogey. I really just want to know that Bogey is still with me." Well, at that moment, guys, I saw a plate of Mexican food right in front of me, and it looked really good.
I mean,
I saw the melted cheese. Mm-hmm. I saw the tacos. I saw the whole thing.
Going to the kitchen.
So I asked her, I said, "Did you recently have Mexican food?" And she said, "Well, yeah. Why? I had it for lunch yesterday." I said, "Well, Bogey's telling me to tell you that you skipped the sauce. He saw you eating Mexican food and you skipped the sauce."
Oh, wow.
Well, she had been at one of those places, you know, like Chipotle, where they make it right in front of you.
Nice.
And she was trying to watch her weight, so she asked them to put the sour cream sauce on the side.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
So he saw that.
Here is this,
I love sour cream.
This client of mine that is beyond grief, so upset because she's had to basically put her dog down,
right.
And her dog's coming through talking about the Mexican food she had the day before.
That's far out.
Oh. And skipping the sauce. I mean, some of the craziest things that you could possibly imagine can come through. The animals will talk about it. They tell me about things like a tooth issue. Just today I was having a session with a deceased cat, and the cat kept pointing to her mouth.
Yeah.
So I said to my client who was on the phone, I said, "Did your cat have a mouth issue or something with her tooth or her gums?" And she said to me, "No, why?" And I said, "Well, she keeps talking about the mouth and she keeps pointing to her teeth." And she goes, "Well, I just got a root canal done the other day."
Holy moly.
Huh.
So this is how the message comes through to me. It's not always exact. I don't always know exactly what it is that they're
right.
talking about, but you do.
I gotcha.
That's how it relates to you and your situation. And that's what's just, it's fun about it. It's kind of like using my detective skills, because sometimes I have to try to figure out what a certain message means.
Right.
And here's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
I was in session with a deceased dog, and during this, it was a 30-minute session. And during the entire 30-minute session, the dog kept flashing in front of me a box of breakfast cereal over and over again. Yeah. And when I get a repeat message, I know that it's important. And so every time I'd see the box of cereal, I would ask his mom and dad. I call you their moms and dads, not owners, because I believe if anyone owns anyone, they own us, not the other way around.
Cool.
But I asked the mom and dad, who was on the phone with me, who eats the breakfast cereal? Who's the big cereal eater?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they both said no, that they don't eat cereal. They didn't know what I was talking about. Well, this dog, poor thing, kept flashing me over and over again this box of cereal. So finally, I just said to them, okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm looking at, and please tell me if this makes any sense to you, but is there any reason why your dog would show me a box of Fruit Loops cereal? And they both started to crack up, and they said, oh, my gosh, Karen, that's his nickname. We used to call him a Fruit Loop.
Oh, wow. Toucan Sam.
So it had nothing to do with eating cereal, which I made that assumption, and I was wrong, but
right.
It had nothing to do with eating cereal. It had to do with getting me to say Fruit Loop because that was the dog's nickname.
Have you used any of your abilities, like, in police work? Like, talk to someone's dog when, you know, when...
To get dirt on the perp?
Yeah.
Actually, guys, that's one of my passions, and I love working on cold cases. In fact, I have a cold case, several of them that I'm working right now. I'm working with the guys from Rescue Inc. You may have seen the show on Animal Planet.
Yes.
And I'm also working on some just for some private citizens. In fact, I have one where the cat was the only living witness to the murder of his human.
Oh, wow.
And it's a cold case
That's cool.
And I think it's 3 or 4 years old and still trying to get enough evidence to bring this. We know who the suspect is. We need enough evidence to bring him to justice. But that's one of my passions, and I love how I get to blend my background in law enforcement with my animal communicating abilities and get these suspects in jail where they belong.
Good on you.
Hmm.
That should be the next hot show, you know, Karen.
What's that?
You have the next hot show there for television.
You know, I'm hoping so.
I'm psychic too. No, I'm kidding. I'm just very, I'm just good with actually just, you know, stating the obvious. That's my thing, so thank you. Welcome to it. No, that would be a great program. I'd watch it every friggin' night.
Well, let me tell you, it's very satisfying when you can, bring closure to a victim or a victim's family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you say, gentlemen?
Brandon,
you have a question? Come on, jump in. You look scared. She's a delightful young woman. She's got a great message. Pal, jump in. You like animals?
Yeah, you had a fish before, right?
Hey,
no,
can you,
no,
can
I never had a fish.
Hold on 1 second, Brandon. Karen, can you read fish, too?
Yeah. Any animal, really. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
It doesn't matter.
Fish
what
are tasty animals, so Brandon, go ahead.
So if say you're walking on a walk through like the woods or something, and obviously there's a bunch of animals around. Is it like
tons.
An overload, all of them trying to communicate with
like
you at
squirrels
once?
Squirrels and deer and stuff like that?
That's a really good question.
Thank
and
you,
the way that I have learned how to, I call it being on duty because everything goes back to police work. I don't know why. It just goes back to police work. But when you're on duty, you're on duty. And when you're off duty, that's it. You're done.
Right.
Someone could run a red light in front of you, and you're done. You know, it's like,
right.
I'm going home. I'm off duty. I didn't see that. And I try to apply that same technique when I'm not working. When I'm in work mode, I mean, I really prepare. I don't take myself seriously, but I take my work very seriously. So I get prepared. I get into the mindset that I'm going to work. And when I'm not working, guys, I mean, do you, on your days off, do you just spend time, like, doing work stuff? Probably not.
Nope.
No.
I have nightmares.
Yeah.
About work.
About work, yeah.
So I really do try to turn it off. I really
right.
do try to disconnect, and I'm usually able to do that. The only time when I really struggle with turning it off is if there's something really, really tragic going on.
Uh-huh.
I'm on Facebook, and I have a lot of Facebook friends.
Like us.
And I'll get these horrible videos of animals being abused.
Really?
You know, just awful stuff.
Sheesh.
And sometimes, yes, it does get to me because I can't help it. I'm sensitive to that. But I try really hard to only have that energy out there when I'm working. Otherwise, I would be completely drained by the end of every day. I mean, if you could imagine trying to listen and tune into every conversation, that's putting a lot of energy out there.
So have you ever had the experience where just an animal just tried to start communicating with you and you were completely shut down, you know, just enjoying your day or whatnot?
You just turn them away?
And
I'm off duty.
Where the animal was just...
Oh, climb a tree,
take
pal.
My card. Make an appointment.
Fly back later.
Where the animal almost went out of its way to try to communicate with you.
At any cost?
Yes, I've had that happen. Sometimes it happens at the most unsuspecting moment. But yes, it does happen sometimes. It doesn't happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I will always try to do my best to let the animal know that, you know, mm-hmm. or the human, because humans are a lot worse at interrupting me. In fact, I'll have humans wake me up real early, like 6 o'clock in the morning on the day of the session that their loved one is going to have. They'll shake me out of bed and wake me up and...
Uh-huh.
They'll do things to get my attention. So the humans are much more obnoxious than the animals. The animals are usually very patient and very excited, but they're usually very respectful of my time. It's the humans that don't know boundaries.
I hear that, Karen Anderson. I hear that. Go ahead, Willard, go ahead.
Now, Karen, with your readings of animals, is this something that you do in person? You could do it over the phone? When do you get these feelings of an animal trying to come through?
I was going
to
ask that.
I mean, we've all had pet animals. Do you feel any of our animals coming through while you're talking with us? How does that work?
You're going to freak me out if you say yes.
Well, actually, guys, I'm really paying attention to you. So if you want me to air your dirty laundry, I'd be happy to.
Is there a lot of it to air, Karen?
Yeah.
About me or... Wait, watch this. I'm such an elitist. About me or the rest of these guys?
I'm really tuned into you guys. I'm really listening to you. I'm not tuned into any of your animals.
Aww.
And it's not something that I just open myself up to. I'm very careful about where I direct my energy.
So you can read us right now, though.
Somebody has a specific question about their animal.
Finnegan.
Then what I need from you is tell me the animal's name, if it's a cat or a dog or horse or whatever it is.
Yes.
And what they look like. And ask me what the question is, so I can tune into that energy.
So it doesn't matter if it's deceased or living?
It does not matter to me.
Take it away, Willard, your fat cat Finnegan. Tell her.
What do you want me to...
He's the killer cat.
Do you got a question?
She's going to tune in and read his mind for us.
I don't know what I would ask.
Oh, we put you on the spot, and now you guys don't know what to ask.
No, I know what to ask, but it's not my cat, Karen.
Well, I know my cat likes to eat. And I know he likes to use the bathroom, and he likes...
Well, that's biologically sound stuff. That's normal.
We want to know why your cat jumps us all the time.
Why he attacks all of us.
Okay, the cat...
Why is he eating my friggin' foot?
Okay, wait, I can't hear you. Try again.
I can go get him, bring him down.
Can we bring him to the microphone?
No. That's not necessary. Just tell me his name.
Slow down, Willard.
His name's Finnegan.
Finnegan, all right. How old is Finnegan?
Finnegan is about a little over 4 years old.
Okay. And what is Finnegan's a cat, right?
Yes, a male cat.
And what does he look like? Tell me the color, the primary color.
Well, he's like, what is he? One of those
he's gray and white.
Calico cats with the what would you do? Like white spots and brown and black and then white spots.
He's got a mottled pattern.
Yeah, he's got the kind of cat that has the M on his forehead.
Okay, so that's a tabby. He's got tabby in him.
Tabby.
Is he an only cat?
I don't know. What was that question?
No. Is he the only cat in the house?
No, he's not.
Okay, that's part of the problem. He says he should be an only cat.
Oh.
There's a lot of, I'm going to say, animosity. The feeling I'm getting is like an animosity feeling about attention going everywhere else is what I'm hearing.
I'm going to cry.
And,
it's okay, Ryan, relax.
Who's the musician in the group there?
there's a couple.
That's the talkative one, Brandon.
That's Brandon over here.
Okay, so Brian was in band.
Tell Brandon you need to practice more.
Wow, I pretty much stopped playing like
that's
a
why
year
you need
ago.
To practice more.
Get on that, pal.
Well, I'm seeing that you really need to practice more.
That's
and Finnegan is busting your chops on that.
Nice.
I really have a sense of wanting to claim all of the attention from Finnegan, that's the feeling I have.
Huh.
So it's all about the attention. And just remember that animals don't care if it's negative attention.
Right.
They just want attention. It's like the little kid throwing a tantrum in the middle of the grocery store. You know, they don't care that mom is ready to, you know, take them outside and throw them in the car and scream and yell. They don't care. They just want your attention, and that's what I'm getting from Finnegan. He just wants my attention.
Yeah, he's a very needy cat. He always wants to rub up against you and want you to pet him. But he does, you know, him and the other cat, Misty, they get along. I mean, he like cleans her, but then he'll start.
It's an act, pal.
He'll start attacking. Well, I think he might be playing, but she doesn't like it. Yeah, he starts roughhousing with
UFC style, pal.
So right, he's also right. Twice the size of her,
too.
You
know, I've had sometimes animals that are at each other's throats tell me that they do it for the entertainment, that it's their way of entertaining themselves because our animals are so bored.
Yeah.
Especially indoor cats. I see more behavior problems coming from indoor cats than any other animal because they are bored out of their mind.
They don't really go out. Imagine. We don't really let them outside because we live on a busier road. So they are truly indoor cats.
Well,
they go out a little bit.
And that's part of it. The other thing, too, is we have a tendency to react in a way that feeds that kind of behavior. So Finnegan is getting exactly the reaction that he wants out of you.
Slick cat.
There's a little bit of manipulation going on there.
Now, can you find out from Finnegan how we can keep him off the counters?
Oh, boy. I don't think we have long enough time here.
He yells at us, too.
But I'll tell you one of my secrets.
Sure.
This is what I use. I have a lot of cats. I do cat rescue. And if I have an area where I don't want one of the cats to go, I get a piece of cardboard.
Barbed wire.
Yeah.
And some double-back sticky tape. Uh-huh. And I just put the tape on the cardboard in strips, and then I put it wherever I don't want the kitties to be, up on the counter or wherever. Mm. Because if they jump up, they land on the tape, and you know they don't like that, so then they get right down again.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to give that a try.
So that's a great trick.
Does that work for kids, too?
Brandon wants to know if that works for kids.
Is that legal?
Yes, it works for significant others, too, yes. Except at that point, you have to get the duct tape.
There you go.
Yeah.
For their mouth.
Uh-oh. Now we're starting to get into John's kinky side here.
No. I have a question. Karen, so is there anything Finnegan's saying about me?
Who's that? Who's talking?
This is John, the handsome one.
Oh, John. Oh, yeah. Okay.
The loser? You hang up?
I'm
sorry.
Okay, let me give you the imagery that I'm getting from Finnegan when I ask him about you, John.
Okay.
I'm seeing, like, wheels spinning and sometimes going nowhere.
In my head?
Apparently.
Okay, he's not jealous of my good looks, then.
Yeah. Well, that too.
You're awesome.
Are you saying that Finnegan thinks John's a loser?
Because I kick Finnegan's ass.
No. I didn't say that at all. I literally feel like the wheels are spinning sometimes and they're going in so many directions sometimes we don't get where we're going.
Get out of here, Karen. Are you serious? Oh, my God. I almost just fell out of the freaking chair. Wow, that's a pretty good read right there, pal.
It is. We were talking about that the other day.
You know,
focus our energy in one location.
They're just so honest with what comes forward, and they don't say it to be mean.
Right.
Well, let me take that back. Some animals do have quite a sense of humor, and sometimes they'll pull my leg. Like, I had these two cats one time that were having, it was a litter box problem, and they were trying to figure out who wasn't using the litter box. You know, was it cat A or cat B?
Right.
And each cat was pointing to the other one. He did it.
Get the paw
and
down.
They were laughing. They thought it was hysterical. Because they had all the humans up in arms, and they got all this attention, and they just thought the whole thing was just funny. Again, if your animal is bored, they will find something to do, and trust me, you won't like what it is they choose.
Ain't that the truth?
Mm. Yeah.
My dog just lays around all day. She's worse than a house cat.
Your dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
You're not going to ask you to read your dog, are you?
I don't have a question about my dog, though.
Well, can I tell you what the number one reason is that people call me?
Please, okay. Yeah.
The number one reason is end of life. Mm. Is it the right time to say goodbye?
Gotcha.
That's the number one reason.
Mm. And what is the usual responses you get from that when
what's the answer to that kind of question?
You know, if you've ever, have you guys ever had to euthanize one of your animals?
Yes.
Right in my own house it happened, yeah.
Okay. It's horrible.
It is.
It's a horrible experience, and nobody should have to go through it, and nobody should have to make that appointment, and nobody should have to feel that kind of pain. It's just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I can do, and what my number one request is to contact the animal and ask them if they're ready, if they want to stay or if they want to go. And sometimes the answer will surprise us, and sometimes the answer is very obvious, but we never know, and every animal is different.
Mm-hmm.
Some want to pass on their own. Some want assistance. You just never know. And so checking in with that animal and at least finding out what they want, it can make that impossible decision just a little bit easier.
Wow. Mm. It's a sobering thought, but I got you. It's a good point. So what do you say, Brandon? You still freaked out about the whole musician thing?
It's Brandon. Yeah. He went to go get his guitar. He's practicing.
And no, Brandon, I didn't Google you before the show.
I wouldn't even want to know what you found out.
She did say dirty laundry earlier.
Dirty's the operative word, right?
Yeah, remember, be careful what you want me to say on the air, because I will be on my best behavior, but...
We might have to talk off air.
I was going to say, Karen, that's kind of like, you know, oh, goodness, that's like a double-edged sword, because we actually are going to go off the air and talk to you in a minute, so is there something that you want to say to us maybe off the air that you're going to hold on to?
Perhaps.
Okay, we're still friends, right?
I'm hoping for lotto numbers.
No, that's never going to come. Every time
it
we have...
work, I've tried.
Oh, thank goodness. I was going to say that. Every time we have somebody on that's got the gift of sight in some form or fashion, Marty's always trying to put the squeeze on him and get the lotto numbers out.
I've tried. Doesn't work.
They all say that.
Yep.
Okay, Karen Anderson, hold the line. We're going to take our last break of the night. We're going to come right back, so please don't go anywhere. Folks at home, you're listening to Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. I'm John Crescito. This guy's Brandon Bristow. That's Marty Shevchik. And that's Ryan Will. I'll be back in a minute, babies. Everyone, it's John Crescito. Please stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for a gigantic announcement from yours truly about Beyond Ghost Events. Boo! Welcome back to Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. It's your host, John Crescito. I'm here with the gang. There's three of them plus me makes four. So we're talking Bristow, we're talking Chef Chickles, and we're talking about Ryan, the Professor Willard,
Don't forget about Marty's parole officer over
there. We're just going to call him the friggin' shadow. We got Matt Kelly in the back just staring at us, freaking me out, but he's a nice kid in pinstripes. We're talking to America's Animal Communicator. We're talking to Karen Anderson. Now, Karen, obviously, we're going to be winding down for the hour, and I want to say, first of all, it was an absolute pleasure to finally make your acquaintance and have you on the show. We've been dying to have you on. We're huge fans of your work.
Thank you, guys. I've been really looking forward to this, too. I wish we could all be in studio together. I think that would be fun.
Someday that's going to happen, I promise you, because we're going to make a run to the West Coast, so it may very well happen. But before we let you go, we're not letting you off the hook yet. Got a few more things for you. We're going to do something we call shout-outs, and for the next few minutes, we're going to allow you to tell the fans at home, the listeners of Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal, where they can find out more information about you, maybe some of the upcoming projects you have in the works, and of course, where they can find you on the web, most importantly, your URLs, please. So take it away, Karen Anderson.
Oh, absolutely. I will shamelessly promote myself.
By all means.
The best way to reach me is my website, which is KarenAnderson.net. Nothing special about the spelling, just KarenAnderson.net. You can Google Karen Anderson Pet Psychic or Karen Anderson Animal Communicator. I usually come up first, second, third, right in that area.
Nice.
My website has so much information. If you're curious about the work that I do, or if you want to read actual sessions, there are countless sessions on my blog, and you can read all about what happens, what the animals tell me. I'm also on Facebook every day, and if you would like to find me on Facebook, I have a badge or the link on my website.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a free newsletter, a monthly email newsletter, where I offer discounts and specials only to my special email clients.
Hmm.
And I'm available for emergency sessions, too. If you're having one of those situations that can't wait for a regular session, I can usually get you in same day during the week. So check it out and find me on Facebook and check out my book, Hear All Creatures. It's on Amazon. That's about me in a nutshell.
Beautiful.
Hey, Karen, really quick before we go, just wanted to give you one more little insight on Finnegan. I was actually kind of... out of both cats, I'm worried about him more of the attention jealousy factor, where my wife's pregnant, we have a baby on the way in May, so I'm wondering if he's noticing changes or noticing anything and how he's going to act when the baby comes.
You gonna eat them?
Oh boy! I think you just hit the nail on the head, the proverbial nail on the head. When is your wife due?
May 19th is the due date.
Okay, so that's what all this jealousy is really coming to a head about. You know, that's something that is easily overcome, and I'd be happy to go over with you some of the things that I would recommend. So if you just want to hook up with me after the show, I'd be happy to do that for you.
Hmm. Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
And one last thing before we let you go, Karen Anderson, please, if you could just tell the listeners out there, obviously I'd be willing to bet 90% of them have some kind of pet in their house. What do you think in all your communique with animals, both deceased and living, what do the pets want the owners to know?
The number one thing that they want us to know is that they want us to respect their needs and put their needs first, not ours. We always put our own needs first, what we want, and then we never put their needs first. Pay attention to their needs. If they're a working dog, a shepherd, a collie, a Rottweiler, they need work to do.
Right.
So just look at whatever the animal is you have and try to fit their needs in.
Okay. Very well said. And I want to say at this particular point, America's Animal Communicator, Karen Anderson, thank you so much for coming on the show again. We'd love to talk to you again at some point. And it was a delight talking to you, so hope you had fun.
I did. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Now, please, do not hang up yet, though. Please, we're going to say goodbye to you off the air properly. We're taking the final break of the night. This is Beyond Ghosts Interact the Paranormal. Be back in a minute. Be good to them animals, or I'm sending Chef Chick to your house, babies.
As long as you're not in Canada.
Or Mexico.
All you beautiful people out there listening, thanks so much for doing so, and welcome back to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. Yes, I am still your host, John Crescito, and now it is my pleasure to introduce the ever-popular musical segment that we all know, we all love it, and yes, it is unique to this radio show, Beyond Ghosts. It is That's the Name of That Tune, and tonight on That's the Name of That Tune, we're going to feature a beautiful and talented singer-songwriter from Los Angeles known as Beth Thornley. Now, Beth Thornley has been getting a lot of attention from those in the know as far as independent music goes, so as that goes, so shall she get attenzione here on Beyond Ghosts. Her song we're going to feature tonight is known as There's No Way, but there is every way, Beth Thornley. We're going to play that great tune on this show tonight, so Beth Thornley, the name of the tune is There's No Way. More information about Beth, go to BethThornley.com. That's Beth, T-H-O-R-N-L-E-Y.com, BethThornley.com. And as always, we want to say thank you so much to our musical sponsor. Week in, week out, we're talking about, you know it is, the PodSafe Music Network, Music Alley from Mevio. And check them out on the flip side, my friends, at M-E-V-I-O.com. That's Mevio.com. Beth Thornley lists some of her musical influences as some of the best ever, if you ask me, the Beatles. We're talking David Bowie and the Kinks. So without further ado, here's Beth Thornley's There's No Way. And don't hang it up now, folks. At the end of the show, I'm making a major announcement that pertains to the paranormal in Western New York. If you're within driving distance, I don't care where the hell you are. You can get to Buffalo. After you hear what I'm about to drop on you tonight, you're going to want to be here. So stay tuned for the major announcement. It's going to revolutionize Western New York paranormal history. After Beth Thornley's great song, There's No Way.
You can say that you don't care what they think, making sure that you sink. After all, it will please them, and to make sure they will collect what they've earned, you will crash and you'll burn just to prove you don't learn.
There's no way. Okay, folks, just like I promised, it's now time for that huge announcement that is going to be definitely revolutionizing Western New York paranormal history. They said it could never be done because it hadn't been done before by anybody else, but let me tell you what your buddies from Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal have accomplished. We are announcing the first ever, I repeat, the first ever historic public ghost hunt of a place that many, if not all, enthusiasts in Western New York and beyond consider haunted. We're talking about August 13th, 2010. That's right, Friday the 13th, folks. Join us at the haunted and historic Shays Theater, downtown Buffalo. That's right, folks. We're making it happen, first time ever in history. For all of you beautiful people out there, join us at Shays Theater, August 13th, 2010. More info, and I'll tell you what, these tickets, babies, are limited. Go to beyondghosts.com and look at the events page. beyondghosts.com, and we'll see you in August in Buffalo at the haunted and historic Shays Theater, first ever. Be there, be square. All right, cuckoo, ka-choo. That's going to bring us to the conclusion of our brand new episode for this week. We're talking March 16th, 2010. We had our good friend on, pet communicator Karen Anderson. She's a regular dear. We can't wait to have her back on the show again. We love Karen, big fans of her work. So once again, Karen Anderson, that's right, psychic who communicates with animals and pets, was on. We'll have her back on, babies, no worries. But go check out KarenAnderson.net for more info. Now, that's our show. You heard the big announcement about Shays Theater, first ever public ghost hunt, happening August 13th, 2010. More info, you know what to do, right? BeyondGhosts.com. And next week, we have another fantastic show. Maybe you can get by with a little help from your friends. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you just like to live in a place known as Penny Lane. You kind of know where I'm going with this, pal. Next week, our buddy Jonas Goda is going to be here, and we're talking about all things Beatles, and specifically, the Lennon Prophecy. That's right. Another conspiracy theory next week. We're talking to Jonas Goda, our pal from Philly, about the Lennon Prophecy. So, folks, if you're a Beatle maniac like me and the rest of the boys, you're going to be here. In the meantime, check out beyondghost.com. See you people next week on the radio. Thanks for listening. Love you all. Spread the word and Chabela!
And if you don't feel anything, that's fine too.
That's cool in the game with us.